In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. As I was looking over the readings, I was really drawn to this portion of Titus for this morning. This verse 4 out of chapter 3, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." And there's two things that hit me there. The importance of this understanding of this being saved concept, which we don't really talk about that much in the Episcopal Church, but we do believe it to be true. The concept of the rebirth and the renewal through the water, that gets a hold of me. But the other part that really catches me and I wonder about and took me a long time to come to grips with, not because of any works or righteousness that we had done. So I don't know how it was in your childhood growing up or if you're in your childhood now. We had to work for what we had. When I was growing up, you were given one brand new mode of transportation. It was a bicycle. That was after you learned how to ride the same bicycle everybody ahead of you learned to ride. I think I was the only child my age who understood the concept of a bicycle with those hard rubber tires with sand in them, that the bikes weighed like 80 pounds. That was the same bicycle I think my sister learned to ride. She's a lot older, my oldest sister. There's many in between us. And it had the little bar on it that you could, they would unbolt it and lift it up and it became a boy's bike. You could unbolt it and move it down, it became a girl's bike. I don't know if you remember those. The thing weighed more than I did. So I guess it's a good thing we lived in Florida because we did not want to get going down a hill. Going up a hill would have been impossible. But you worked for anything you got. You got that one new bicycle. Anything else or any other mode of transportation, including my skateboard, was my own purchase. So that was my understanding. That's how I grew up. If you want it, you work and you save and you get it. And then on this day where we're freely giving gifts, and we have been freely given the gift of Jesus Christ, some of us still struggle with that concept, that it's just free. It's a gift. He offers himself to us, God incarnate, so that we can be saved, so that we can be full and complete and grow into being the people he created us to be. But it's difficult for some of us. I don't know if that's true for you. Maybe you are really ready to accept gifts more so than you give them. But I find most people are uncomfortable, or well, they're certainly more uncomfortable receiving a gift than they are giving the gift, amen? Most people can give gifts, give things to other people, help other people, take care of other people, but when it comes time for them to receive, we struggle in so many ways. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles people have with accepting Jesus. The fact that he just accepts them. He accepts us no matter who we are, how we are, what condition we're in. All he says is, turn to me. And we struggle because nothing else in our life has really been that way. And to think, to receive the greatest gift of all, not based on anything you have done, not based on any works that you have done, just seems too good to be true. Perhaps, because we all know if it's too good to be true, it is. This is true. We have this opportunity, this gift given to us in Jesus Christ, not based on any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy and through the water of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life, the greatest gift of all. Adopted in, grafted in to God's people, the people of the one true God. It's an amazing gift. And maybe you'll receive other gifts today. I don't know. Maybe you already have. Maybe you're waiting to get home to open your gifts. But the one true gift for all created beings is Jesus Christ. The opportunity to have life full and eternal. I used to be a youth minister years ago, and I would talk with my youth. They used to smoke back then still. I don't know that they do much anymore. Not since they started vaping, right? Not sure there's a difference. And I would talk to them about their friends that were starting to smoke, as young people occasionally will do. I don't know what year that starts. It was probably earlier for me, like many other things. But you got to try it out, right? And I'd talk to them using that sort of analogy of smoking with the concept of evangelism. You're confused now, right? So you talk to them, you talk to their friends. I said, hey, we talked to them about sharing the good news of the gospel, telling people about Jesus. And of course, nobody wants to do that because then you just look like a nut. And I'd say, well, here's the reality. Do you know any of your friends started smoking, or maybe some of you? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, maybe your parents smoke. Do you want them to? No. Why? Well, because it can likely kill them. Oh, so you have information that could save someone's life. Do you give it to them? Do you tell them they shouldn't smoke? Do you ask them not to? Do you tell them that you care about them and you don't want to see them get sick? Yes, I do. I said, then why wouldn't you tell somebody about Jesus? It's life-saving information, isn't it? Yet we hesitate to do it. Not only do we hesitate to do it, we hesitate to accept it. But it's life-saving information, brothers and sisters. Without this information, there is no fullness of life. There is no life eternal with the one true God. Without this information, there is no life. And if there is no life, then there is only death. We have this information, amen? We live in a world that needs this information, amen? This we know for sure. We ourselves, at some point, desperately needed to hear this message. Well, I mean me. Somebody told me what I needed to know about Jesus so that I may clearly understand that it's not because of any works of righteousness that I had done, because I certainly hadn't done any, I promise. But it was according to his mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit poured out on us richly. We become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have this good news. I know you have this good news, or you wouldn't be listening to me right now. You would have been in bed still. Not saying anything against people who are still in bed. What I'm saying is, it matters to you. It has changed your life. We've been given the task of allowing the Spirit that's been poured out on us to pour through us to change the lives of others just by sharing the good news that we have. God will do the rest with them, just like he did with you. when you go about your day today and the coming weeks, the question will always come, what did you get for Christmas? And you can tell them, life abundant and life eternal through my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.